Hi, this is Mike Young, estate planning and elder law attorney in Walnut Creek, California, and I'm going to talk to you about what happens if you don't die. So I hope you are getting some value out of these estate planning YouTube videos I'm creating. Also, just to let you know that I put on Zoom workshops on the second and fourth Thursdays at every month at 10 a.m. And at the Zoom workshops, I talk about estate planning, advanced estate planning, Medi-Cal planning and qualification, and asset protection. And the workshops are fun, they're interactive, and I encourage questions. So I'd like to see you at one of my workshops. I'll leave a link below so that you can sign up. Also go to my website, walnutcreekelderlaw.com, and sign up for the workshops. In addition, hit the subscribe button and the bell below so that you'll get notice of new videos that I create. Also, if you have a question you would like for me to try to answer, hit the subscribe button and the bell and put your question in the comment box and I'll try to answer it. So when I see clients, I ask them two questions, really three questions. What will happen when you die? That is, how do you want your assets distributed? So we usually create a revocable living trust for clients. They transfer their assets into the trust. The biggest asset is usually the home. I'll put a link to some videos where I talk about how to transfer a fund, a financial fund, to a revocable living trust, how to transfer your home to your revocable living trust. So we want things set up so that if you die, your assets that are in the trust are going to pass through the trust to the beneficiaries. And this will be done through a successor trustee that you name, for instance, a child who will step up, act as trustee, garner the assets, figure out valuations, have the beneficiaries sign off on an agreement. We also follow the probate code where we give notice so that we protect the trustee and the beneficiaries, and then we make distributions. So we do all of this ourselves. We control the whole process ourselves without going to court, without going to probate court. And so we have to be careful who our successor trustees are, who the beneficiaries are. And we also ask the question, if you die, who is going to get what assets? Are they going to receive the assets straight out? So for instance, if Mary Smith has three children, Ken, Barbie, and Rasputin, and let's say Rasputin is a spendthrift and is a substance abuser and he would waste all of his money. So we have three beneficiaries, Ken, Barbie, and Rasputin. Should Ken and Barbie get their one-third amounts each straight out? And should Rasputin get his amount straight out, or should that go into a trust for him? So these are some of the questions that we talk about, and we want to make sure that we're doing things in such a way that we avoid fights and we avoid issues after you pass away. So the second question is, what happens if you don't die? And it sounds funny, but I got that from my mother. She was very funny, but she's been gone for many years now. But there were six siblings in my family, and I set up my parents' estate plan years ago before I was doing any elder law estate planning. So I set up the typical revocable living trust for my parents and transferred their home into the trust, transferred their financial accounts into the trust, and then the trust says that all six kids would take the distributions equally. So my mother, by way of background, was a social worker her entire life. So I grew up with listening to her, sometimes going to meetings with her in the various jobs she had as a social worker in several counties throughout California. And at age 70, she got her MSW, Master's in Social Work, from Sonoma State University. So that's just the background to let you know that my mother knew about every kind of benefit that could be available to anyone in California. So one day my mother went to lunch with her workmates, and they went to a restaurant, and when they came out of a restaurant, my mother fell and hit her head badly against a brick planter, and it created a huge wound. And I found out later, the doctors said that as a result, my mother had organic brain damage, I think they said. So after the fall, my mother had to go to the hospital. She was there for 3 or 4 nights, and then she was discharged to a skilled nursing facility, which she called rehab. So mind you, this was couple decades ago. So in any event, my mother was in a skilled nursing facility, and it was being paid for by Medicare. So we know that Medicare pays usually for the first 20 days of a stay in a skilled nursing facility. And then after that, you have to private pay at 10 to 15 grand a month, or apply long-term care insurance if you have it, or private pay. So my mother was discharged from the skilled nursing facility. And about a week later, my mother wanted me to meet with her to discuss with me her estate plan that I set up for my mother and my dad. And so I was talking to my mother, and I said, "Mother, do you remember I set up your revocable living trust, transferred your home into the trust, your financial assets? And the trust says, if dad dies first, everything stays in the trust for you, mother. And if you die first, everything stays in the trust for dad. When dad dies, everything goes equally to the 6 kids. If one of the kids had died and predeceased you, then their 1/6 share would go down to their children." And then my mother said, "Michael, I want you to listen to me. At this point in my life, I am not so worried about what happens if I die, but what happens if I don't die and I become ill? The same thing for your father." My mother said, "If I had to stay in skilled nursing and private pay at 10 to 15 grand a month," I think it was a little less in those years, "there would be nothing left for my father. And if one of us was left and we had to go to skilled nursing, we would use up all the assets and nothing would be left for you kids." So my mother said, "Michael, do you know about Medi-Cal and Medi-Cal planning?" And at that point in time, I was not into that. My clients at that time had smaller children, and we were creating sub-trusts for the children, that sort of thing. So in any event, my mother said, "Fix everything up so that we can protect assets and qualify for Medi-Cal and save something for you kids. So that will be what happens if I don't die." So I set that up for my parents. I set that up for most of my clients. And I'll do another Medi-Cal video about how Medi-Cal works, the language we need to coordinate between the revocable living trust and the financial durable powers of attorney to allow for asset protection and qualification for Medi-Cal. Transfers between spouses, gifts to children, all of that, and all of those rules. So if my mother got sick and she did not die and she had to go to skilled nursing, then we would have Medi-Cal to help pay for everything. The other thing that my mother was concerned about, if you don't die, and which most people are concerned about, is to have somebody there to help take care of you with your assets as you get older, and maybe if you need care. So for my older clients, as they progress through life, at some point in time, they may need in-home care, they may need to go to boarding care or assisted living. So we want to have provisions in our documentation to allow for a fiduciary, which is a legal term for either the attorney in fact under the financial durable power of attorney or the trustee under the trust, to step up and to help my clients during their lifetime. This is a huge comfort for my clients to know that there is a loved one, somebody else, or even a professional fiduciary licensed by the state of California who can step up and help you if you don't die. So this is more of what happens if you don't die. And of course, we have two healthcare documents in California. The California Medical Association Directive to Physicians, which is the California healthcare form, where you appoint somebody to make healthcare decisions for you if you can't. And I'll link the video that I made where I actually go through and fill out that form, the directive to physicians, so that you can see that. And we also have HIPAA, the HIPAA form. So HIPAA laws in the state of California and federal HIPAA laws protecting your right of privacy to your medical records, so that if someone needs access to your medical records to give to another healthcare provider or a hospital, they will be able to do that and will be able to get past Nurse Ratched. So Nurse Ratched has retired from the movie business. She was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and now she works at the local hospitals here in the HIPAA department. So you have to be armed with your HIPAA document. So these documents and all this information are designed to help people if they don't die. And the third perspective, also related to what happens if you don't die, is what happens if you get Alzheimer's disease or a dementia-related disease. We want to be sure that we have the right fiduciaries, again, who can step up to help make decisions for you, and to make sure that we get all the information we can to help the loved ones or the spouse through the Alzheimer's Association, through other organizations, through church groups. So it's very important to be armed with information to help the loved ones and to help my clients if they suffer from Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, or some other dementia-related disease. So it's a big part of my practice when I meet with clients, older clients especially, but not always, sometimes younger clients, to make a determination as to where they are with regard to cognitive abilities. Sometimes clients will be diagnosed as having a mild cognitive disorder. So we have to look at all of these things when we are creating an estate plan. So what happens if you die? First question, how do you want your assets distributed? How will they be distributed? Do they go straight out to beneficiaries? Maybe one of the beneficiaries, like Rasputin, the spendthrift son, maybe he needs a special trust. And we pay very close attention to who all the players are so that we can avoid issues and fights after you die. And we have to be careful who your trustee is. So that's what happens if you die. What happens if you don't die and you become ill along the way? We have people assigned to step up who have authority to take care of you, help pay your bills, make sure you're taken care of, make sure they have powers to pay for in-home care, boarding care, assisted living. And moreover, the overlay on my estate planning documents for my clients is Medi-Cal. Medi-Cal qualification, Medi-Cal protection, and asset protection if you die after having been on Medi-Cal. And the laws are always changing on that. But I'll create a couple more videos on Medi-Cal. So I'll link to some of these videos during the course of this video and at the end, so that you can look at those and get more information. So don't forget to sign up for one of my Zoom workshops and hit the subscribe button and the bell and leave a comment. So thank you for watching.